you got a green light.
If you got a green light, then you're
okay.
Okay. Good morning. It's so nice to see all these smiling faces out here, these faithful people. I love that you're all here today, and it's such a, you know, neat day to be out worshiping. Another wonderful opportunity to praise our Lord. Do announcements first, and before I forget, we're going to do June first, so I don't forget. June has an announcement. There we go.
Okay. We had a real good time last Thursday at our prayer and praise meeting, and it's a good feeling just to be there. So we announce that we will have another one, and it'll be just ahead of the meeting at 7 o'clock for the when the district superintendent's coming. Everybody's welcome. we'll meet at 6 o'clock, and it'll probably be half hour, a little better.
Karen, you're doing so. There's also, before we have our meeting, let me go back. Oh, no, Friday. This is Friday. Okay, let me back up. I had the wrong day in mind. There will be a town hall style meeting to view Blessing One Another project, video rather, followed by questions and answers, presented by Reverend Dr. Margie Crawford, our DS, our district superintendent, on Thursday at 7 o'clock. So if you come for the prayer meeting first, just stay for that afterwards. This meeting will last approximately 1 hour, and both Deckerville and Sandusky churches are invited and encouraged to attend. Did you want to add anything to that? No?
That's all that I
know. Okay. All righty. Friday on September 8th, there will be, that's not that far away, August is ending quickly. The new Legacy Project will be performing here at 6:30, best known for their harmonies, humor, and love for God. You won't want to miss this fantastic group, and admission is free. And quite a few of us went to hear them last year in KPAC, and we can vouch that they're really a wonderful group. So if you have that opportunity to come, you really need to come and listen to this and share in their praising. Also that same night, there's going to be a spaghetti dinner beforehand, before the project concert, Legacy Project concert, excuse me, dinner and a concert, what a deal. I can smell spaghetti sauce, garlic, bread already, yum. Amore details to follow. So I really encourage you to do that, and we are going to have a spaghetti dinner first, so that's good. I know I was going to ask, the town hall meeting, is that in Wesley Hall or up here?
It's going to be up here.
It will be up here, okay. It says in Wesley Hall, so we will be up here so we can see the video. A Pampered Chef catalog is in a lot of the pews, and Porchelle, they extended it for another week, so if you get a chance to look at that, it will, the proceeds all go to our church mission. Proceeds go to our...
Add a little bit to that.
Okay.
Porchelle has had that going for all this week. It's a special deal for August that anything you buy from Pampered Chef, all of what she would have earned, or she's got my name on there as the person that's giving the party, but she's actually doing it. Anything that they normally would have gotten, all of the money goes directly to our missions. They will be writing a check to Sandusky First for mission projects. So anything you purchase, even if you wanted to start doing some Christmas shopping, which I know some of my friends have done already, if you want to do something like that, she put the books back there. They were not able to get them, too many of them in here until this past week. So if you didn't see them, there's more back there today. And it'll go on through this next week. She just sent me a text this morning.
Okay.
So please take advantage of that if you can. You get the benefit of getting a product, and the church gets the benefit from the proceeds. Thank you.
Good planning. Even for me, who was trying to downsize a little bit, I know I'll find something. So, ladies,
there's
and
everything
men.
From spices to paring knives to, You know, so it doesn't have to be a big item, but maybe something that you could use in your kitchen.
Mm-hmm. And it's a great, great opportunity to share for our missions. Newsletter deadline is Friday, August 25th. If you have lots of happenings going on in September, get the word out. And it's a free way to do that. A membership class is being planned for September. Dates and times to be determined. If the congregation decides to vote on disaffiliation, you must be a member to vote. If you are unsure of your status, you would like and would like to, or would like to attend the class, please contact Pastor Lisa or the church office. But again, you have to be a member to vote, so that's something to keep in mind. And the other announcements up here, I think you can read. There will be one more before we start with the birthdays. There will be a 5-minute meeting immediately after church in the nursery for United Women in Faith. That's used to be the UMW women. So there will be a meeting afterwards in the nursery for all of you to bake it. And all of you are invited. All the men can come too, I think. Can't they, Karen?
One thing that I didn't say.
Okay.
Tom said
that we have enough food for fellowship time today to feed 5,000. So stop in and get something right after the service.
Good idea. Good idea. Our birthdays this week. Prayer concerns. Do we have any prayer concerns we need to bring up? Okay, our birthdays this week. Okay, here they are. We have birthday to Sean Murphy, Lynn Frisbee on the 25th, Wanda Cook. We sing happy birthday. Happy anniversary goes to Al and Mary Nickel. Welcome to the Sandusky First United Methodist Church. Our vision statement is love, care, share like Christ. The mission statement of our denomination is go make disciples of Jesus Christ for the transformation of the world. Pastor Lisa Clark will bring us the morning message. I am Bev Shoemaker, worship leader for this morning. Our acolytes, please quiet your minds and prepare your hearts for worship. Aaron.
Do you think you could have our video with the brand?
If you want.
We are going to see just a brief little video clip here that we didn't really have a good place to fit in, but I wanted everybody to be able to hear it for the new Legacy Project that will be coming September 8th here. And we're excited to invite everybody here, but also everybody that might be listening in. They are going to be here, and at 6:30, they'll start their concert.
Excited about that. We've got great musicians working on it. We started this group with the idea that we'd reach out to a whole different audience, but not leave the old audience behind.
God of creation,
you all put that right on your calendar and bring lots of friends and neighbors and families. It's well worthwhile. It's just a wonderful experience. Our praise song today, we will sing This is the Day, 657 in your book, and I'll have you stand if you're able. Please remain standing for your call to worship. We'll read it responsively. Every sense is bombarded daily with the sound of hurtful words and the touch of polluted air and water. Every sense is bombarded daily with the taste of food that does not satisfy and the whiff of corruption. Every sense is bombarded daily with sights that disturb and distract.
God's Spirit cleanses us with every breath we take as we breathe out our praise.
Let us praise our Maker with every single breath.
Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we cry out to you from the back of the line, from the edge of the crowd, from the corner of the room. Lord, you make no such distinctions, nor do you set such boundaries, because your faithfulness is great for all and for everyone. Your grace is enough for all of us, and we are covered in your love today. We thank you for being here in the presence, Lord, of this sanctuary, in the presence of all of your people. And Lord, we just pray that you will bless us with your holy word. Bless us with your healing touch and give us your love, your grace, and your mercy. In Jesus' name, amen.
Hymn, page 365 and on the screen, Grace Greater Than Our Sin.
Thank you.
Our Old Testament reading today is from Genesis chapter 45, verses 1 through 15, and this is taken from the NIV version of the Bible. Joseph makes himself known. Then Joseph could no longer control himself before all his attendants, and he cried out, "Have everyone leave my presence." So there was no one with Joseph when he made himself known to his brothers. And he wept so loudly that the Egyptians heard him, and Pharaoh's household heard about it. Joseph said to his brothers, "I am Joseph. Is my father still living?" But his brothers were not able to answer him because they were terrified at his presence. Then Joseph said to his brothers, "Come close to me." When they had done so, he said, "I am your brother Joseph, the one who you sold into Egypt. And now do not be distressed and do not be angry with yourselves for selling me here, because it was to save lives that God sent me ahead of you. For 2 years now, there has been famine in the land, and for the next 5 years, there will be no plowing and reaping. But God sent me ahead of you to preserve for you a remnant on earth and to save your lives by a great deliverance. So then, it was not you who sent me here, but God. He made me father to Pharaoh and lord of his entire household and ruler of all Egypt. Now hurry back to my father and say to him, 'This is what your son Joseph says. God has made me lord of all Egypt. Come down to me. Don't delay. You shall live in the region of Goshen and be near me, you, your children and grandchildren, your flocks and herds and all you have. I will provide for you there, because 5 years of famine are still to come. Otherwise, you and your household and all who belong to you will become destitute. You can see for yourselves, and so can my brother Benjamin, that it is really I who am speaking to you. Tell my father about all the honor accorded to me in Egypt and about everything you have seen, and bring my father down here quickly.' Then he threw his arms around his brother Benjamin and wept, and Benjamin embraced him, weeping. And he kissed all of his brothers and wept over them. Afterward, his brothers talked to him. May God add his blessing upon the reading of this word."
This week, during our prayer time and all the week following, we'll be praying for the Dollar Tree. That is our business of the week to be praying for, as well as so many other prayer needs on our hearts and on our list here, certainly. Are there unspoken needs here this morning? By a raise of hand, unspoken needs. Absolutely. The Lord hears and knows our hearts, and so we will lay them at his feet this morning. As well as so many others on this list, the Lord knows exactly what we need. We think of all the devastation in Maui, and we pray for those families. We pray for all of the healing that needs to be done there, for the loss of business, the loss of homes, the loss of life. We want to remember to keep those situations in our prayers as well. Let's bow together. The altar is always open. If anyone wants to use the altar for prayer, know that the altar is always here for you. Gracious and Heavenly Father, you have come into our midst this morning, Holy Spirit, dwelling in and through and around these pews, dwelling in our hearts, feeding us and showing us, Lord, the path of our lives, the path that you would have for us to take. You certainly are a God of grace, just as we've sung the words this morning, grace greater than all our sin. Grace, grace, God's grace. And we are thankful today, Lord, for your grace in each one of our lives. We look through our life and see the pathway that you have steered us through so many challenges, so many obstacles, so many things that we thought maybe we would never get past. And Lord, yet you have shown us a way and made a way and made those paths clear and straight at times when we've needed it the most. Lord, you hear our hearts this morning and all of those unspoken requests, all those unspoken needs this morning that, Lord, only you may know the answer to. Some things are just too big for us, too much more than what we can grasp. But we count on your love today, Lord. We count on your grace and your mercy. We count on your embrace. And we feel blessed to have been able to get up and get in our vehicles and or walk or however we manage to be here this morning, Lord. It is by your grace. Thank you for all the things yet to come, Lord. Because we know you still have a work for us to do here in this community. And we just pray that, Lord, this the New Legacy Project that will be coming to share such wonderful inspiration that we need to hear so desperately. Coming on the 8th, Lord, we pray that you will bless that experience for so many, that you will fill us to overflowing. And Lord, we just call upon you, Lord, in this day, in this time, in this hour. We pray for our church. We pray for those that are listening in today. We pray for those that weren't able to be here. Some have shared with me that they'll be back next Sunday. Lord, we pray for our continued ministry and where you would guide us and lead us. Speak to our hearts, embrace our minds, Lord. Thank you for allowing us to just feel your presence. Your Holy Spirit dwells here with us. And we give you thanks for all of it, Lord. We pray in times of struggle and we pray in times of joy. And you, Lord, you are what we need most right now. And we give you thanks and we give you praise. All honor and glory may they be yours, Lord. In the name of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, who taught us to pray these words together. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, not the power, and the glory forever and ever. Amen and amen.
Because of who you are, I am. flower quickly fading. Here today and gone tomorrow.
Do you want up closer?
In the ocean, a vapor in the wind. Still you hear me when I'm calling. Would you catch me when I'm falling? I am yours. I am yours. Who am I that the eyes that see my sin would look on me with love and watch me rise again? Who am I that the voice that claims to see would call up through the rain and calm the storm in me? Not because of who I am, but because of what you've done. Not because of what I've done, but because of who you are. I am a flower quickly fading, here today and gone tomorrow. A wave tossed in the ocean, a vapor in the wind. Still you hear me when I'm calling. Lord, you catch me when I'm falling. You told me who I am. I am yours. Not because of who I am, but because of what you've done. Not because of what I've done, but because of who you are. I am a flower quickly fading, here today and gone tomorrow. A wave tossed in the ocean, a vapor in the wind. Still you hear me when I'm calling. Would you catch me when I'm falling? You told me who I am. I am yours. I am yours.
I am yours.
Whom shall I fear? Whom shall I fear?
Good to be reminded of that, isn't it? Who am I? The Lord loves us beyond measure. Scripture reading from the New Testament this morning is in Matthew chapter 15, if you'd like to follow along in your Bibles. Matthew chapter 15. And then we're going to start with verse 10. Jesus called the crowd to him and said, "Listen and understand. What goes into a man's mouth does not make him unclean, but what comes out of his mouth, that is what makes him unclean." Then the disciples came to him and asked, "Do you know that the Pharisees were offended when they heard this?" He replied, "Every plant that my Heavenly Father has not planted will be pulled up by the roots. Leave them. They are blind guides. If a blind man leads a blind man, both will fall into a pit. Peter said, "Explain the parable to us." "Are you still so dull?" Jesus asked them. "Don't you see that whatever enters the mouth goes into the stomach and then out of the body? But the things that come out of the mouth come from the heart, and these make a man unclean. For out of the heart come evil thoughts, murder, adultery, sexual immorality, theft, false testimony, slander. These are what make a man unclean. But eating with unwashed hands does not make them unclean." Leaving that place, Jesus withdrew to the region of Tyre and Sidon. A Canaanite woman from the vicinity came to him crying out, "Lord, Son of David, have mercy on me. My daughter is suffering terribly from demon possession." Jesus did not answer a word. So his disciples came to him and urged him, "Send her away, for she keeps crying out after us." He answered, "I was sent only to the lost sheep of Israel." The woman came and knelt before him. "Lord, help me," she said. He replied, "It is not right to take the children's bread and toss it to their dogs." "Yes, Lord," she said, "but even the dogs eat the crumbs that fall from their master's table." Then Jesus answered, "Woman, you have great faith. Your request is granted." And her daughter was healed from that very hour. May God add his blessing to the reading of his word today. The word of God for the people of God. It's a simple story about a woman who really probably couldn't care less about all the politics and division in her world. Right at that moment, her cares and her world were wrapped up in her daughter. Her story reminds us of what faith and prayer and love look like when we're faced with real-time personal adversity. It's a story that brings us back to the basics of what it means to put our full and whole trust in our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. I, for one, need to hear a story like that right now. I don't know about you, but this is the story that was laid out for us. Eugene Peterson once said that for Christians, the Bible should never be the footnote to the news of the day, but rather the day's news should always be just the footnote to the Bible. If we forget that the newspapers are footnotes to Scripture and not the other way around, he said, we'll finally be afraid to get out of bed in the morning. Today's headline is never to be found in your news source, but it's always just the footnote. Scripture is the headline. So what's today's headline? I might put it this way. An unnamed Canaanite woman becomes the only person ever described by Jesus as having great faith. Just last week in Scripture, we talked about the disciple Peter. He was told that he had very little faith, if you remember. This week, this anonymous woman, we don't even know her name, and she's not even Jewish on top of it, is told that she has great faith. So what is it about her faith that makes it so great? And how can we have faith that is great like hers? That's a challenge, isn't it? But I think it helps us to remember what Christ has already done for us. And as we, the older we get and the more we look back on our lives, I think we see the path of where Jesus has been all along and the things that he's brought us through. And I think that helps us to have faith, doesn't it? Knowing that he's always been there and that he's not going to leave you now. In some of the most trying days of my life, I had to keep reminding myself of that. I don't know about you, But I had to keep saying to myself, he hasn't brought me this far to just leave me. Same for you. He hasn't brought us this far just to abandon us and turn and leave and walk away. He's going to be here for you, and he's going to be here for me. It's about that grace that we sang about this morning. And I think sometimes when we're singing those hymns, we forget that we're saying those words that are going right up to the throne room of Christ. They're being laid right at his feet. Those same words that we just sang, grace, grace, God's grace, grace that is greater than all our sin. God's grace will see us through. God's grace will walk with us. And in that story of Peter, the moment that he took his eyes off of what he should have been watching, and that was Jesus, he began to sink. What about that faith? Wouldn't we want to be that person that Jesus described as having great faith? Faith in the midst of the storm, not just afterwards when you can see that you're okay again, but in the midst of the storm, in the midst of the challenges of life, in the midst of the trials, in the midst of your diagnosis or your child being sick, or your family falling apart, or the trouble that we find in the world today. Anytime we turn on the TV or listen on the radio, the people that have gone through tragedy and trials, like we think of those folks in Maui. I can't even imagine what it would feel like to walk out these doors if the building was still able to even stand, and see nothing but charred and burnt rubble, and having family members missing, and knowing that loved ones have been killed in this tragedy, and the people that they talked about had to stand for hours in the water to stay safe. We can't even imagine it. But maybe you've gone through your own crisis in your life that felt just like that. Where is the Lord? Is he listening to me? We know he is. But I was reminded this morning when I was in KPAC of a time many years ago that a gentleman walked up to me after the service and I said, "We're missing your wife today. How is your wife doing?" And he responded this way. When was the last time that the Lord did anything for her? Why would she be faithful to the Lord? And, you know, I wanted to cry in a way. And yet I felt so sorry that this person couldn't see Christ in the midst of their storm. She had some ill health. And she wasn't able to do some of the things that she had formerly done. They weren't that old of a family. They had young children. And she was sick, and they had been praying. And they weren't seeing the answer to that prayer. And maybe you have been in a situation like that, or you know of others that will claim that as well. Where was the Lord when I was going through that? I didn't hear his voice. I didn't see anything change. Where was the Lord during my storm? And I think it's a great testimony, this right here, this morning, this scripture that I shared with you, knowing that this lady, this mother, was desperate. And we've read about other desperate mothers in scripture too, haven't we? We've read about other mothers that have desperately asked for the Lord to come and either raise their child from death or to heal. I can't imagine how overwhelmed the Lord must have been every time he was out in public, which was most of the time. He was overcome with people that needed healing and needed help. And they had seen what he could do. And I think just being in his presence and seeing his eyes connecting with our Lord and Savior, face to face, seeing his eyes, knowing that caring and that love and that genuine, genuine trust . The woman reminds us in this story that sometimes great trust and great faith require a great need before it comes to our attention. If we don't need Jesus greatly, then how can we ever have great faith in him? And we need him greatly, don't we, in our lives? We need him greatly. Throughout the New Testament, the people who show the greatest faith in Jesus are the ones who are in great need of him, who the stories I shared a minute ago just about a mother that needed her child healed, and they had just died. The ones who were poor in spirit, as Jesus describes it. Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Great faith requires being poor in spirit, needing the Lord, and most of all, recognizing that we need our Jesus, we need the Lord, realizing that we don't have it all figured out, and we can't get it right on our own. We can't fix ourselves, our families, our world on our own. We need Jesus, and we know it. This woman is desperate. Her daughter is being tormented by this demon. She'll do anything for her daughter. Even turn to this Jewish man. She was humbling herself. She would do whatever it took because her need was great. Can we agree that we have a pretty big need in our world today? Even if we look around in our local community and certainly in our own churches all around the world. We heard of a church in our community today that unexpectedly is closing in the area that we live. It's not of our denomination, but it's a church in our area that has been vibrant and vital and helped the community for many years. They have a food pantry and just so much ministry there, and yet they're going to be closing their doors in December. And it's heartbreaking. It's heartbreaking for the ministry that we know still needs to take place around us. There's a lot of people in our world who know that they need something, but they don't know exactly what that something is, and so they try this and they try that, but nothing seems to satisfy. It seems like a lot of our world's attention is focused on what is going to make us happy and fill our needs, forgetting the need that is all around us. What's going to fill my need? What's going to fill that void? But the truth is that there is a hole in the heart of our world that can only be filled by Jesus Christ. Yes, great faith requires a great need, and yes, our world has a great need, but that need is not going to be filled until we see Jesus Christ for who he is and what he will do and can do and wants to do. You see, this Canaanite woman has great faith, not because she's desperate for help, but because she is desperately realizing that her help can only come from the source, from Jesus. Great faith means recognizing our great need and turning to our great Savior, knowing that we need something and knowing who alone is able to fill that need. And no, it's not always in our time frame, is it? It's not always instantaneous. We know that. I'm preaching to the choir per se this morning. You know that our need is not always immediately answered. But in God's perfect time, whatever that is, as we put our hand in his, he takes us down that path. I had an aunt, Bless her heart, she's in heaven now. But every time she went across a bridge, she nearly crawled under the dash of the car. She was horrified. My mother would tell the story about they were riding with them, and my mom and dad were in the back seat, and they were going to go across the Mackinac Bridge. And she got out of her seatbelt and crawled on as much on the floor as she could get as an adult person because she was so horrified. And she said, "Let me know when it's over." Let me know when it's over. Have you ever felt that way in your life? Just let me know, Lord, when it's over, so I can open my eyes again and take a deep breath and move on with my life. So I can get back up on the seat of that car and open my eyes and see the world for what it is again. Have you ever felt that way? I can only imagine that this woman was feeling that way as well. Lord, I don't know what to do about it, but I know somebody that does. If you are willing, Lord, I know you can do it. I've seen you in action. And he said, "Your faith is strong and it's great. And because of that, your daughter is healed." Do we give up after we pray once? That's always been the question in many Bible studies. You know, I pray this prayer. Pastor, should I keep praying that? Or God heard me the first time, didn't he? You know, am I just nagging at him? Am I just being a nuisance when there's lots of other prayers he needs to hear? You know, what should I do? Should I keep praying? And I think this is a perfect example of being persistent. Be persistent in your prayers. Don't give up after you pray once. Let the Lord know how passionate you are about healing, about your neighbor's illness, about your family situation, about your church. You're passionate in prayer. You're passionate and not giving up after he doesn't answer the first time. And, you know, when that man came to me years ago and approached me, I wasn't the senior pastor at the time. I was associate pastor, and I think the senior pastor was standing somewhere else. And he came up to me, and I thought, where is my senior pastor when I need him? Because I don't know how to answer this. I don't know why God hasn't answered your prayer because you've been praying. I'm not privy to that information. But what I do know is don't ever give up. Don't ever quit praying. Don't ever lose faith. Don't ever lose heart. Especially when the situation looks glim and glum and dreary and hopeless. He will bring us hope. Hope will flourish. Don't quit praying. This Canaanite woman has great faith, according to Jesus. And we see it in her response to Jesus' silence. When Jesus responds to her request with silence, she responds in faith. It's in the face of silence that she does not give up. She does not turn from Jesus. Instead, she kneels before him and says, "Lord, help me. Lord, help me." When you don't know the answer, when I don't know the answer, we go to our knees and say, "Lord, help me. Lord, help me. Because I know you want to, and I know you can." We had dear friends that really meant a lot to us and had been with us during a lot of happy occasions. One was he was our baseball coach for years at Cole before I was a minister. And his wife, she was a beautiful pianist, just a beautiful pianist. And she became very sick with a brain tumor and subsequently, a few months later, passed on. Just a beautiful lady that we loved dearly. And we had a all-night prayer vigil. We prayed really hard. Her family, I know, was praying very, very hard. And I know many loved ones and other family members too were too. But when she wasn't immediately healed, some became discouraged and depressed and were very, very upset that it felt like our prayer vigil had done nothing. Our prayers had been unheard. And we're reminded over and over again that sometimes our prayers get answered in ways that we don't understand. And she wasn't healed in this life, but I know she was in the next. And I look forward to hearing her play again someday. And I look forward to being with all of those folks that maybe loved ones here felt like those prayers weren't answered. But we know God hears, and we don't always understand, but he hears. And he knows our pain. And he knows exactly what we're going through, the struggles we're facing here, the struggles we're facing personally. He knows exactly where we are in our walk with him and how fervent our prayers are or not. So as we think about all of this today and this Canaanite woman and her great faith, let us strive to have that same great faith, not in ourselves, not even in your pastor or not in any earthly person, but in your Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Have that great faith that he's looking for, even in the midst of trials and heartbreak and difficult decisions. Let us bow for a word of prayer. Thank you, Jesus, for hearing our every prayer. And even when we don't understand, Lord, you know what's right and you know what's perfect. And someday I pray that we're going to understand exactly why, how. But right now, Lord, we don't, and it's okay. Because we're going to put our faith and our trust in you alone. We give you thanks and praise for that grace that you extend to us every day. Help us to have that same great faith in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. If we can have our ushers come forward at this time.
taking my sin, my cross, my shame. Rising again, I bless your name. You are my all and all. When I fall down, you pick me up. When I am dry, you fill my cup. You are my all and all.
Come out from the back of the line. Come out from the edge of the crowd. Come out from the corner of the room. Embrace others and be embraced, that the least, the last, and the lost may come out of the shadows and live in the light. And my God, be with us as we move forward and as we leave this place today, Lord. Surround us with your love, your grace, your care. Lord, embrace us in Jesus' name. Amen. And now let's sing Blessed Be the Tie.